North South Connection proudly presents TNA Never Dies. Now, cross the line with your hosts, Aaron, Jenny, and JT.
So we're recapping all the insane promos from last week. Jenny, does it make sense to be promoting all these promos between Piper and Vince Russo and rehashing them and showing us again if we're not building towards a Piper and Vince Russo match?
Yeah, I mean, they're just basically recapping you of what happened. Like, you know, I don't think we have to build to anything. We're just explaining what happened last week.
But if it has no bearing on anything going forward, JT, what's the point of recapping it?
Just to show how cool and cutting edge they are. I don't know. It was like such a long recap too, and all dramatized. And yeah, I had no interest in reliving it.
No, me neither. And thankfully,
once was enough.
Yeah, we're on episode 25, December 11, 2002, and thankfully, in the recap, they leave out all the very insensitive Owen Hart stuff.
Yes, yes.
And then they start recapping Bullet Bob and all his stuff from last time. JT, is he the worst authority figure of all time?
I mean, he's not a good one. It's probably been worse, but
right.
Yeah, he's not the best.
No, they're really trying to put the Harrises over as killers. We get the stupid recap of the BG James heel turn, and they do a good job of showing not Paul Bearer on the ramp. So, what's insanity awaits us this week? First thing I see is a sign in the crowd that says, Athena is better than sex. What the fuck does that mean?
Sex is the whatever he came up with the acronym. Sports Entertainment Extreme.
Oh, was it an acronym?
Yeah, that's what it's going to be called.
That's what he was saying.
Oh,
Sports Entertainment Extreme.
Fuck,
Sports Entertainment Extreme.
I was like, why? Like, better than sex with her? Like, what? I don't understand. All right, we're bringing out Jason Cross. He's 23 years old and a six-year pro. Tanay puts him over, puts over his moves as the most incredible he's ever seen. And he's fighting Tony Mameluke, a guy with a sign in the crowd that says, Mameluke is your daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like a child that Mameluke sired that like...
No, he'd be saying my daddy if it was the child.
Well, unless it's like a friend of his.
Tanay hypes up his match on Explosions, which I didn't realize was already a show that was going on at this point.
Yeah. What is that?
It was like their syndicated show
that
had like other matches. If you guys want to work that into the rotation, we can.
I mean, we can.
No, thank you. Jenny, did the guy who, like, you? It's a long shot that Mameluke's going to be on the show, right? So if you prepare that sign.
No. He just totes that sign around everywhere. Like
Mameluke is your dad.
Doctor's office and movie theater.
That sign is for? It's for a child that he raised. But he's not. He's telling him now that he's not his father.
Oh.
And this is how he's choosing to tell him. Can we also talk about? Can we talk about the Jesus cross on Jason Cross's tights?
Yeah, I was hoping we would.
Because it's right in his ass crack, and that that does not feel like that doesn't feel respectful to Jesus at all. Like, last time we talked about
it. Should it be on his crotch? Is that what you mean?
Not at all on him. How about that?
Because, but then how would you know his name was Cross, though?
I don't know. I guess there's no other way to get that across. Across?
No.
I mean, if Jesus comes back, I don't want to keep harping on when Jesus is going to come back. But, like, if he comes back and there's a guy putting the symbol on the crack of his ass, like... Like that,
well,
he died on
that's
that.
Probably low on the list.
That cross has been involved in a lot worse things. I'll tell you that much. So.
Unless it's a piece of the true cross.
It's had a lot worse people.
All right. Well, Cross gets a great jump to the outside. Here's the thing. Who is JT? This is for you, I guess. Who is Jason Cross? Because it's really rare that, like, when I'm watching the show, someone will pop up that I haven't heard of in any way. And is he dead?
Great question.
I don't think so. I had never seen him either before this. He's not dead. I can confirm.
Okay.
He worked the indies in Georgia and other places. And it looks like until 2013. It looks like he is in TNA for quite a bit.
All right.
He does have an injury here and there, but he looks like he's kind of consistent maybe for the next couple of years. Oh, no, well, no, he looks a little sparingly. Yeah, he's around for a while, but I don't think he's like a regular.
But like, you know what I mean, right? Like, it's weird to see someone and not have any clue.
No, definitely, yeah. Looks like he was best known for a while being an NWA Wildside, so I wasn't as in tune with the indies at that point, but
is that the show that Scott and Dr. G are covering?
Yes.
Okay, good. Just so we're clear. Great chop.
But that is where like AJ Styles and Air Paris and those guys were. That was like one of the hotter indies at that point, so he was there.
Great chop block by Mama Luke to ground cross. Mama Luke also looks like he breaks his neck with a German suplex.
Mm-hmm.
And I quite like the story of Mama Luke working the leg in this match. But JT, does it take you out of it at all that after all the leg work he does, Cross starts jumping up and down on the leg?
He's just gotten through it. That's all.
I knew you were going to say that. Tanay also has the balls to call Mama Luke the best the X Division has to offer. I think it's a bit of a bit of a stretch. Cross hits a flipping Imprettier, which looks better than any Unprettier that Christian has ever done in the ring. And they call his move the Crossfire, but it's basically a shooting star leg drop. It looked great, but he lands on his leg and hurts it more, which I love. And
then too.
Mama Luke destroys the leg and finishes off with the Sicilian crab. Jenny, is the Sicilian crab, does it remind you of like some sort of a sex parasite?
Yeah, it does. When you get a case of the Sicilian crabs, it's hard to get rid of.
They just fucking won't. Do they multiply like a lot?
Yeah, just like Sicilians do.
Oh, a shot at the Sicilians. But I'm guessing both of you, as we were going along, enjoyed the legwork in the match.
I did. Yeah, I enjoyed a lot about this match. And they talk about how I think his Mama Luke was trained by Malenko. So that was a fun little – had we talked about that before? I know we had talked about Mikey training some of the X guys, but I don't know if we had talked about Dane or not.
Dane.
Mr. Malenko. Anyway, I love that leg drop, and I love the finish of this match. I thought it was really awesome. I gave it 3 stars.
Yeah, I liked it too. It was a fun opener. I thought Cross really showed some wild offense, and they made it pay off with the leg being too hurt in the end. I thought Cross could have went over, but I don't mind when they do this either, where the guy debuts, looks strong, but just comes up short as he works his way up the ladder. So I thought that was fine, and I went 2 3/4. I enjoyed it as well.
Yeah, I dug it a lot. I went 3 3/4. I just love – I love when matches tell a story like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Legs hurt, fucks it up, tries a big move, hurts – like, to me, that's wrestling for me, so I really like it. Tanay yells about, oh, this is such a great way to kick off the show, but then immediately transitions into the worst way to continue a show as BG James grabs the mic and demands that the music be turned off. And then they he wants West – he puts a guitar – on West and Tanay's desk, and he tells Tanay to guard the guitar with your life, because if you don't, who's going to guard your life? And then he says it's a direct order from Vince Russo, but again, is Vince Russo in charge? I don't understand. And then
it's not very clear.
No. And then Jay, he wants the Harrises to take out the trash, so they beat up Mama Luke. JT, why is Mama Luke still in the ring?
He was healing, taking a moment. He beat up Cross too, who clearly could have walked with that leg. Again, it's like trashing the X Division. Like, who gives? Like, why? Why are we doing this?
They're more interesting than any of you.
Easily, Jason Cross did more in that 8-minute match than anything the Harris brothers have fucking shown since this promotion started.
In their career, not just the promotion. In their career.
In their lives.
In their lives. Your gym. Your life. Jenny, what's with the guitar?
I don't know. I was lost.
The stupid silver guitar.
Yeah.
West is also now screaming about disrespect, but it's like, we see this shit every week. Like, it's the same stuff every week. And then they tell us...
And I was... so hopeful after that match too, and then like I didn't even get to enjoy, like, yeah, that was awesome, like, you know, like they're rebounding from last week. Oh no, just automatic bullshit.
No,
after that,
BG James and the fucking Harris brothers. And then they get in the ring to cut the promo, and James is like, at least he's not doing Get It Got It Good anymore. Mm. They make a point to say Russo isn't here because he's out recruiting new talent for Sex.
Get it?
Yeah. And then he
got it.
Good. And then he says he's already recruited, and then he refers to himself and his Harris's as the Gleesome Threesome. Ugh. Is that worse than Jizzy Dog?
Jizz
Dog.
Yes.
Like, it just, I feel like they're just a sloppy three men fucking each other called the Glee. Mm. Like, this is the Gleesome Threesome. Ugh. Like, I'm fine with, like, I'm fine with normal men fucking each other. That's fine.
Just not these three guys?
I mean, look, there'd probably be something perverse about watching the Harris brothers.
I would watch it. I would 100% watch it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'd probably
only
would.
Only if they all die in the end.
Well, that's when I'd start.
They just all murder each other.
That's when I'd start jerking off. Right? Them. Oh, you finally. Oh! Yes. I'll be honest, I wouldn't last 2 seconds if they started murdering each other. But there's no thought put into how dumb something like Gleesome Threesome sounds, right? And then BG continues. He name drops Degeneration X. He claims it was Russo's penmanship and his performance that boosted them to the top of the wrestling mountain. Where does the credit lie for the success of DX, and why is it not BG James?
I honestly have a hard time giving shit about any of this. Really, I mean... yeah, I don't know why him and Russo now. It's just the retcon. They drove the success of DX. I mean, yeah, it wasn't the greatest, one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. Definitely not.
No.
Shawn Michaels. You're doing cutting edge stuff and then him glomming on later. It wasn't, you know, X-Pac.
Look,
one of the greatest workers and talkers of that time frame. Wasn't him.
I think you can give him some credit for helping the group, because I think the Outlaws really
helped. A slice of credit.
Yeah. But not the credit he's trying to give himself here.
No.
Jenny, how much eczema does James have on his arms?
All of it. All of it that exists.
All right. James then says everything they're doing here is for the good of the business, and some fucking old man music plays. Here comes Bullet Bob. Says he's
favorite old man.
He says
should have broke out the old Mae Young and Moolah music. That's quality old music.
Or the music that Pat Patterson comes down to for the evening gown match.
Yes.
He says he's disappointed in his son. At least this time he knows it's his son. He can't believe he's thrown in with that Rat Fink Russo. And then he goes,
Rat Fink is a great insult, underutilized in today's vernacular.
I will say that. My favorite wrestling insult might be when Jim Ross called Michael Cole a varmint. I like that one also.
Another great word.
But he wants to know, what the hell possessed you to go down the road with Vince Russo? And then James is like, you didn't do anything for me, Dad. And did either of you realize that Bullet Bob was missing half of his pinky before tonight?
What? I just saw it right as you said that, but no, I did not know that.
It's crazy, right? I never noticed it.
Yes.
You're missing
what
half.
What happened?
I don't know. I mean, it got cut off, I guess.
In a pinky match, hopefully.
I had a teacher.
Loser loses his pinky match.
I had a teacher who also coached basketball who was missing half of his thumb. It was always weird.
I don't need to laugh at the disfigurement or whatever. I just noticed it right when he said it.
So how was he good? Was he good at dribbling the ball?
Yeah, he was okay.
Because the thumb feels like it might be important in that.
You kind of need it. It's opposable.
Yeah. He can dribble the ball. He can't function in society at all. But
can't open a door.
Boy, can he dribble that basketball. Bullet Bob then calls the truth out. Truth comes out looking like a fucking killer. He's got these steel chains on his neck and a chair. Jenny, how excited were the Harrises to see Truth in chains?
They got lit. For sure.
They went and filmed their porno right after.
Yes. They went and fucked BG James right after that.
Come here, boy! Road Dogg's facial hair. I meant boy towards BG James, just so we're clear.
Right. Yes.
Just so we're clear. Just so we're clear. Road Dogg's facial hair is a crime against humanity. What do those rubber bands, JT, say about BG James as a human being?
Honestly, it's the least troublesome part of BG James that we've been witnessing so far.
I don't know about that. It's on the list.
All right.
Where are we on this?
What do you mean, where are we on this?
Are we done with this promo, or are you still talking about
it? We're still talking. There's still more to get through. Bullet.
Right in the middle of our conversation. Are we done with this
promo? We're done with this promo? I'm sorry you're tired, but we have to get through this.
This is how I feel watching this promo. It's like, are we done? Where are we? Why are we talking still?
Bullet Bob is now putting the Harrises in a match with the New Church. And if you don't wrestle, you're not getting paid.
Knock on your asses.
Yeah, and then but then they're like, we're going to do it if it's it's title match. And they make it a title match. But Jenny, why doesn't he just fire them?
Because he needs them.
And then Tanae fucking puts the exclamation point. That's Law and Order talking. Bullet Bob now just starts talking. Fuck, man. He starts talking about stepping on a snake's head and ending up with a dead snake.
Fucking snakes again this episode.
Understand this. So why is there so much snake talk? And James keeps calling him Daddy.
Daddy.
Harris.
Yeah.
Yeah. Harris and James attack, but the New Church comes out to save them. The New Church is the fucking faces now, I guess. Bullet's like, come on, guys, get in here, break this apart. And like a bunch of wrestlers I have never seen before run out. JT, how many guys are in the back that they're not using?
I don't know. Maybe they just hired him because of Vince Russo being here and all the control all the he has.
New kids.
I can't get past the Harris and their fake tough act. Like, that is so lame. Like, when you have, it's like trying to show off that you're cool. When you're trying to show off that you're tough, it like comes across as so fake looking. Like, the mean mugging, the banging on the ropes, we don't care. Like, it's such an awful, lame ass fucking presentation.
And the worst part is if they didn't do any of that, they would just look tough.
Yeah.
They're too
jacked. It's all this over demonstration.
Yeah, we get it. You'd probably really hurt me and maybe sodomize me, but you definitely hurt me. All right, we get the announcer shot. And
I just hate that Truth and the Church is like slopped into this. It's
I know.
They all deserve better than this crap.
Well, this is the main event. So we get some important news. Jeff Jarrett went to England and he defended his title against the likes of Sting, Lex Luger, and Nathan Jones. Could that name be any more out of place than next to Sting and Luger?
Why aren't we seeing those matches? It's been the shit we've been watching.
No kidding.
And did he do this like in the last week? Like since we saw him?
He had a busy tour.
He worked his way through England. Nathan Jones.
Like 5 days.
Nathan Jones just got out of prison. All right. He's got over there and worked that match against Jarrett. Also, someone needs to adjust the feedback on their microphones because you're hearing it constantly during this promo. They run down the card. Kurt Hennig is fighting Jarrett later. Henning's graphic for sure, and like his graphic, you know, when he's moving and then he freezes, it looks like by the end of it he's looking off and saying like, are we done, do you have what you need?
Do you think it shifted a little bit too from the weight behind it, the movement?
And it moved the whole frame. Kurt, can you please stop jiggling? We can't.
Jarrett is also heading to Japan this Sunday for 01, so he's a busybody.
The world champion. All right, he's a world champion. Goldie's in the back with Jorge Estrada, and Goldie's like, you're losing your smile, which I thought was pretty on the nose. Jorge goes, he starts talking about Sonny Siaki, and he says how Sonny Siaki burnt the sacred outfit, and now Jimmy Yang won't return his calls because he's too good for old Jorge. Then 2 weeks ago, Priscilla left with Brian Lawler. Like, it really is. He's been through a lot.
Yeah, poor guy.
And Yang is in Japan, so maybe he's getting ready for Jarrett's arrival.
He's going to wrestle Jarrett. He wants to know if there's, and he goes, I just want to know if there's something wrong with me. This feels like a tremendous amount of self-reflection for this show.
It was very unexpectedly deep, right?
Yeah. Like
heartfelt moment.
Oh, a real person going through something.
What is this nonsense?
Then he goes, I'm going to start going in a different direction because, he goes, if these blues, He goes, if these blue suede shoes won't carry me, I don't know what can. Now, I think you both know what my problem is with this fucking sentence, right?
Yes.
He is not worn, not once, not one time has he worn blue anything on his feet. I would have been fine if someone...
It's metaphorical.
No, no, sir. Not when you're also dressed like Elvis.
You're just not thinking deeply enough, like a straw.
Then you don't care.
So then he goes...
You don't get it.
No, you're right. I don't get it. And he goes, from now on...
Got it.
Good.
Good.
Good. He goes, from now on, I'm playing this thing by ear.
You have to.
You have to. And then she goes, are the flying Elvises dead? And he just walks off. JT, how could it be clearer that the fucking Elvises are dead?
I don't know what he's clinging to. See, Aki's been done with the Elvises since week three.
Yang's been there like two times.
And he doesn't even like associate with him, but he is there. So it's pretty obvious. So unless you want to go find new Elvi, we're done.
Elvi. I feel bad for the guy.
Yeah. He's fine.
He was abandoned. He was abandoned by his friends, and he's sad. His girl left for fucking Brian Lawler. I mean,
imagine Brian Lawler cuckolding you.
Yes, I mean, I would be rethinking the whole Elvis thing, and let's do like a turn. Like let's get gross and ugly and nasty.
Well, he's gonna.
He says it's done. But then he comes out.
Yeah.
With the fucking music and the gear.
And he's doing all the Elvis shit. And he wasn't, yeah.
I pulled my super my own.
Kid Cash is in a shiny pants again and a t-shirt that looks like it was from a Reverend Horton Heat concert, like all the fucking colors in the world. Tanay then makes a crack about Nicolas Cage and Lisa Marie Presley to really hammer home the thing. Estrada jumps out to the outside and basically power bombs himself on the floor. JT, was that Cash's fault? Should he have caught him?
I never blame Cash or anything, so sorry. Be a little more careful next time.
Sloppiest guy in the promotion, but it's never his fault. Just basically guided his neck into the concrete. I got you, buddy.
Real.
Yeah.
Well, I thought Estrada looked pretty scared in this match. I thought it was a lack of confidence. Now I'm thinking maybe it was just being there with Cash.
Yeah, see, as I was watching this, I thought... There's nothing wrong with this match, but it just kind of feels uninspired.
Yeah.
Especially after the opener that was based on a story. Cash almost breaks
his... we just get a lot of like these matches on TNA, that's why. Like, that's one of the downfalls of having a pretty good roster like this, that you kind of cycle through stuff like this. And this is actually a rematch. We've seen them fought September 25th. But
right.
We get a lot of these matches where like the baseline is pretty solid. And it's just that the talent level is at a certain point where... I don't say they all run together, but it's like we've seen this type of match a bunch, right?
Yeah.
But the baseline for me of these guys is always like 2¾ to 3 stars because they're all pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, there's nothing wrong with it. Cash almost breaks his neck with the money drop for the win. Jenny, is this another failure in the long line of Jorge Estrada's failures?
Yep. Poor guy. I mean, what's he going to do now?
Well, probably nothing. Because he said he was going to do something and then came out exactly the same as he has every week. Go on. I didn't have anything to add.
I thought it was a pretty good flow. It was shot for shot. The brainbuster for Cash was good. I liked that it was a clean win. I went 2¾.
Yeah, I'm at the same rating, too. Maybe he can get in with Russo. You know, I bet Russo's got something he could do.
These young guys like Jorge.
Jorge.
Estrada. I'm a 2.5. I thought it was fine. Again, fine. Nothing wrong with it. Now Tanay goes, now something's going in the back, and thankfully, Goldie has a microphone.
Mm-hmm.
She always has a microphone. But it's just Scott Armstrong talking like, he's like, I'm going to go talk some sense into Brian. Like, nothing is going on, and again, they treat it like there's something earth-shattering happening. Back to the...
Well, I mean, he's like, you know, turned on his family and all that stuff, so yes. Scott's concerned.
But do we really need the Armstrong family feud going forward here?
No.
When only one of them is a wrestler?
No.
Well, they're all, you know,
No.
Tightly, you know, involved in the promotion, wrestler or not.
Guess. Anyway, we cut away. A, America's Most Wanted is storming down. Trinity leads down Divine Storm. Quiet Storm vogues as usual. Chris Devine is wearing, like, D'Lo Brown's old tights. I don't know if they was handed down, but it looks the same.
He said you better recognize it. He said, I do recognize them.
Oh, he's looking at the real deal now. West goes on how you have to fight Trinity if you have to fight Divine Storm.
Yeah, but I like this point here because he says AMW is used to dealing with Belladonna.
Yeah.
So they're not going to overlook Trinity. I thought that was – I like it. Don does work in these good psychology points here and there.
Right. I guess Jenny or whoever, are James Storm and Quiet Storm related?
Yes.
Are they cousins, brothers?
This promotion is Vince McMahon's nightmare. With all these Harrises and all these fucking Storms.
It's very confusing.
Chris's, like, it's a lot of similar names. This is what he rants against.
Yeah. And in a lot of ways, like, I mean, I don't think there's anything for the audience to really get confused about. But I know when I'm recapping it, I'm like, wait, who am I talking about here?
Right. 50,000 Harris boys.
Yeah.
A million of the fucking same name.
Yeah. What occurred to me during watching this match and seeing Trinity and her doing her stuff, is it insane how much this product has changed since the very first episode? And, like, especially the women, like, who's come and gone. And, like, do you remember the women's stuff at the beginning was just all Francine and catfights? Mm-hmm. And, like, and now you're getting someone legit, like, doing cool stuff.
Yeah, they've definitely come a long way. For some of the trash we're seeing, some of the other, like, really low-level indie trash stuff, like, has gone away. Like, the Dups, the Miss TNA, like, all that stuff is, like, kind of the real garbage, like, shit that they had going on.
Yeah.
But if you think about, like, how much, like, Disco Inferno, remember he showed up for a week? Like,
yeah.
We've had a ton of just, like, one-undones, like, stuff. Mm-hmm. Pauline, or whatever her fucking name is from Tough Enough.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like, there's been a lot of random shit that's coming on through all these weeks. I mean, it looks like Bruce may be gone now, right? Like, we haven't seen him in a couple, so I don't know.
Brian Lawler quit.
Yeah, he's gone. Waltman, Scott Hall, like, I'm guessing he's gone. Yeah, it's an odd.
Cheeks. We never saw Cheeks again.
Cheeks again. Cheeks. Puppet, the midgets, right? Like,
oh,
they haven't been around.
How much more legit do Storm and Harris look as professional wrestlers compared to Quiet Storm?
Well, they're like twice their size, so that does a lot. But they're awesome. I mean, like, they're really, like, at the top right now.
Like, this is, like, you can really see why some people perceive other, like, those are stars. Mm. Like, they look like stars, whereas Divine and, you know, nothing against them, but they look like indie guys.
They look like kids coming up, yeah.
Yeah, and it's not helped when Divine can't even get Harris up for a side suplex.
Side salto.
Yeah, and I guess I was just feeling reflective during this match, but it's also insane to me how much America's Most Wanted has carried the tag division. Not only that, how important the tag division is to the show.
Yeah. To me, it's the highlight. I mean, the X division and the tag division are the two highlights every week. And they've been the one constant. I mean, they pretty much formed week one or two, right? When they did the whole Harris giving Storm shit about the cowboy giving. I mean, they've been together since just about day one. So
yeah,
it's all revolved around them for sure.
Yeah. No, I really, really appreciate it about this product. They set up for their finishes, but then Trinity just comes in and low blows Harris, and he gets fuck, too many Harrises, and he gets rolled up for the win. Do you think this is the right call, JT, Divine Storm winning here?
Yeah, I thought it was a cool moment. Because AMW may be playing a little loose, right? Heads are elsewhere. Divine Storm's been on this little bit of a winning streak, and they pick up another big upset, and they're getting a pretty good push. So it pushes Trinity as, like, the driving force. So I liked it. And this is the TNA that we've enjoyed. Like, this is at its best. Mm-hmm. We've had just straight, really good wrestling, one after the other, quality matches, young talent. The tag division's rolling. It's been great watching AMW come to their own. I didn't mind this finish. AMW's been so protected. They've only lost, like, what, twice, I think, since the start. So
yeah,
it's fine. This doesn't really hurt them. I went 3 stars. I thought this was a really good tag match.
Jenny,
go on. No, go ahead.
No, go on.
No, I was just going to say it makes sense, you know, with them being so distracted with this new church stuff, and they're not really prepared for Trinity, really, because she's the one that matters in the match. Like, they can out-wrestle Divine Storm, but Trinity is the one that nobody can really get a handle on yet. So she's challenging, and then the new church is distracting. So I like this, you know, a lot. And I actually liked, I did kind of like it. But I noticed when Dude's hand, when I think it's Harris does like a delayed suplex or something, Dude is like propped up, you know, he's upside down, and then his hand just dips right into Harris's trunks, like he's literally grabbing on his dick as he's like being held upside down. So noticed that, and I gave it 3 stars.
3 stars for the penis grab. I'm at 3-2. I think you can really tell how healthy a division is by how many matches they give it that just aren't for the title.
Mm-hmm.
And like when you see tag matches like this that are building up other teams, I love it. This is, yep. Again, this is same thing with the first match. Like, this is the wrestling I like. Like, mm-hmm. it works for me.
Yeah, this is TNA at its best. They have a loaded, stocked roster of young guys that can work and give quality performances. This is what will set them apart from WWE and be different and be exciting. And it's not the other crap, you know?
No. And what a...
So, is Russo just not touching this? Like, or... Who is doing this? You know what I mean? Like...
I mean, he's probably booking.
Where's the direction coming
from? He's probably booking it. He's booking the whole show. I think. I'm pretty sure. But that's the thing with Russo is that, like, he's not 100% terrible.
No.
He's got a lot of bad ideas, and those ideas get really bad when he's involved.
Mm-hmm.
Reminds me a lot of Triple H, actually. Not that we need to get onto that. So, something's happening, though, on the outside. Again, we're rushing. Fucking BG James smoking a cigarette and his
cool guy smoking. Look at him.
Yeah.
We know he's cool. He's got a cigarette.
I
fuck at 1958.
It's so every time I see one of these guys smoking, like I'm just grossed out and disgusted. Maybe because BG James also, but his brother is trying to reason with him, and then they try to make some fucking metaphor about roads and highways, but like, it just sounds dumb. And I'm just thankful that like they're not talking about snakes. Like, that's all I want. Jenny, why do so many people smoke on this show though?
He's being a badass, and he thinks that's gonna help him, and it's really not.
Sudden lungs.
He should really just burn that facial hair off.
Oh, that'd be the best.
Inhale that smoke.
Or just burn his life away.
Yes, everything.
Yeah. Like what we used to do to witches. Like, can we bring that back?
Like, can we bring back witch burning?
Look, we put him in the water. If he doesn't float, he's fine. we killed a lot of witches and a lot of cats, you know? Like, we could get rid of one James. we get a recap of last week, AJ Styles killing Amazing Red. And in this promo, it occurs to me that Mortimer Plumtree wears sandals with socks, which I'd never noticed before. Nice little touch.
It's early. He's looking for the early Crocs look before they became a thing.
I'm wearing Crocs right now.
Shocking.
Yeah, nerd.
I'm comfortable. Don't call me a nerd. I'm fucking jacked like Mortimer. Here comes Styles down to the ring. Is he starting to feel big time, Styles, now? JT?
He got a lot of swagger.
I think so. I think he's been growing. I think it's actually helped him coming down a level because he seems like a bigger star too with these other guys. So
yeah,
getting him away from Lynn for a bit and like letting him throw down with these other dudes has definitely helped. And actually, as much as I question the Mortimer thing, I think that's helped a bit too. It's actually given him a bit of a like more of a feel with like that they actually took the time to give him a heel manager. It feels just more like an old school type of heel versus just another X Division guy.
And Mortimer feels better the less he talks. Like, if he's just there and he's cheating for him, I think it works better than when he's cutting those weird monologues about,
yeah,
I was mistreated as a child and like, all that. Like, we get it. You're not fucking.
I fucked Jim Cornette's wife in front of him.
Here comes Red wearing that fucking potato sack again.
What are we doing? Come on, Red.
Yeah.
You forgot to take your fucking gear off before you walked down the fucking walking around.
Like, it looks like he came out of a box and, like, the wrapping is still around him. But he jumps Styles before the bell. Great intensity from Red off the top. I like that he's carrying. Like, it looks like he really hates him. He hits Rey Mysterio 619, which is fine. But then Tanae's like, he calls it the 718 because he's from Brooklyn. Jenny, did Tanae really need to rip that off?
Nope, sure didn't.
Yeah. Styles hits an awesome powerbomb onto his own knee. JT, do you think it's fun for Styles to have guys that he can throw around?
Oh, yeah. Like, he'd definitely break out a whole nother wave of his offense.
Yeah. And I think it's a nice – I like this – again, I'm digging the story of the match where Red is, like, angry and has intensity, but Styles can turn the tide with one big move. Mm-hmm. Like, his offense is strong enough. And Styles got a good mean streak. I like how he's, like, smashing his face on, like, a sit-down chin lock. I think there's an there's this fucking incredible sequence where I struggled with how to write it, where they, like, flip through each other's moves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like he picks him up, but then he rolls and he lands on his back. Like, I didn't even understand. I don't know how to describe it. But
yeah,
the way they were able to do it, it was so smooth. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. Styles turns a tornado DDT into a Northern Lights. Styles also gets a really great Indian Deathlock, but he makes it even better by rolling over and, like, putting weight on him.
Mm-hmm.
Jenny, are you at all surprised by the level of Styles' mat work here?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think that he's been showing us this stuff gradually all along, but there's something with this combination that really, like you said, I think he was kind of feeding off Red and, like, being able to throw him around, and I think he just was really feeling himself in this.
Yeah, there's something really cool here. And what I like about these guys is that, say, I remember on the last episode we talked about the SATs and the Quiet Storm working together so it looks like cooperation. Like, these guys, it doesn't look for 1 second like they're cooperating.
No.
But what they're doing is way more complicated.
Mm-hmm. It's just a level of experience, I think.
Right, but amazing. Like, but Amazing Red is a child.
Well, he's been wrestling a while, though, right?
I guess,
like, since he was a teenager or something.
Right. Makes sense. JT, are you liking the story in this match that Red just won't die?
Yeah, because AJ is, like, oscillating, too, between, like, taking him seriously, but then he's, like, catches himself, like, oh, wait, I'm supposed to be cocky, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, he's in full control, he's cocky, but Red won't give in, but AJ won't allow himself to get even more vicious. He just kind of is, like, has to feel like he's cool and in control. Mm-hmm. I mean, this overall, like, all these matches, especially this one too, is like the star maker for Red, like all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He looks amazing.
And the finish helps because Red hits this amazing top rope Hurricanrana.
Oh, God.
And AJ lands on his face and gets pinned. And I love a lot about it, but I love matches that don't always follow the formula that where a guy has to hit his finish to win.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes something's just devastating enough for the win, and that's what this felt like. Jenny, where do you think this win positions Amazing Red going forward?
It goes to Jerry Lynn, right?
I guess, yeah.
It's a big win. Yeah, to me it makes him, like,
huge.
One of the top guys of the promotion because he beat AJ Styles clean. Just a wild night. It continues like a wild night of these wins, and I thought it was an awesome moment. Like, Red fully deserved it.
Yep.
AJ dominated, he couldn't finish, but it never felt like he was toying with him. You know, like you get, like Jenny, we talk a lot about an ECW when we do a screen through a dance, like Scorpio with the pull-ups. Mm-hmm. After, like, ECW has an issue where they do a lot of, like, pick up a two. That didn't feel like this. It felt like he was cocky, but never that he was dismissive. Mm-hmm. And that makes Red feel even stronger. We didn't have any fake losses, right, where AJ had a pin, but the ref was out.
No.
Like, none of that shit, right? Red just beat him clean with a wild finish. I thought this was great. It was a unique match, loaded with tons of spots and psychology with a classic moment. And this is all crested to Red to get this big win. Good on AJ to put him over clean. 4 stars to me. I thought this was a great, great match.
It is a fucking cool match. You know, probably one of the rare ones that, you know, I'd be like, y'all need to find this and watch it because I really, really, really liked it. 4 stars for me as well.
I'm at 4.2. I loved it. I really loved it. And I love that, like, in a cynical world that wrestling kind of had become after, say, like, 1997, like, it's nice to see the fucking face get beat up and then come back and just outwork and fucking win. Mm-hmm. I like that a lot. I actually think this is my favorite AJ Styles match to date.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably up there. I mean, I know you're a little bit lower on some of the Lynn ones.
Yeah.
But it's definitely one of the best matches we've seen, and maybe one of the best moments in a match mm-hmm. that we've seen.
Yeah.
I'm scanning quick. Like, I don't think I've gone much higher that often. I gave Lynn Styles on October 2nd a 4. Styles, Lynn, and Low Key August 28th got a 4. 4.25 Styles, Low Key, Lynn August 7th. Yeah,
that's my
July higher. 10th. July
AJ's
10th, I went
4. Been in all of the 4-star matches.
Yeah, the other one I had 4.25 was Low Key, Skipper, Romeo, Mama Luke, Daniels, Lynn. Another one 4, Psychosis. Yeah, so this is like my third. Yeah, it's not that much. It's like a top 5 or 6 match we've seen so far.
Yeah, I think I had that. Go on, Jenny.
No, I was just going to say something else that I enjoyed about it was finally somebody takes out Plumtree because he hasn't really gotten bumped around mm-hmm. much. You know, yeah. So I enjoyed Red doing that. But I do wish Red would just take off that half shirt that he's wearing. It's quite distracting.
Yeah, but I feel like if he takes off that shirt, he's going to look very thin.
You think?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. So at this point, I'm feeling pretty good about this show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's the James stuff, but it was not that bong. I'm feeling pretty good. And we're going to continue. The church is out. And I'll be honest, the red light is doing nothing for my ability to see Belladonna. It's very different.
They really need to work on their lighting.
Yes, the lighting is a problem. What are they, 2013 Ring of Honor? That's a really inside reference. The Harris brothers. So the church is coming out. Oh, yeah, and they're fighting the Harris brothers. The Harris brothers come out from the crowd and start beating them down. And AJ is on.
Because they're cool. Yeah. They're badass rebels.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
AJ is on commentary, and so is Mortimer. But they don't have anything to add to the match. Like, Mortimer's like, I am filing a grievance with the NWA. And let me tell you something, friends. Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. But I will say that Mortimer's use of the word grievance surprised me. Because JT, if this was the WWE, they'd have some sort of fucking weird word for grievance that we'd never heard before, right?
Yes, for sure.
Like abeyance or hold harmless or some fucking bullshit. Of course, the Harris Bros match goes into the crowd. The ref follows them instead of just counting them out. Jenny, did it move you when you saw the Harris brothers and Brian Lee, the DOA, exploding? Did that have a profound effect on your life?
No, it did not. Should it have?
You want to tell her, JT, or do I have to tell her?
Somebody. I just don't care enough about any of them.
Okay, so they get back in the ring, and Mitchell and Belladonna are pounding the mat like they're the face team.
Mm.
And, like, the faces of evil are the face team.
They are, because the Harris Bros are really evil in real life.
I want them to be like, when I say new, you say church. New. New. Church. When I say communion, you say forgiveness. Communion.
When I say all dead, you say blood.
So the match is nothing, though. It's just walking around and punching. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. B.G. James just goes in the ring and hits Slash with a chair, and Don Harris pins him.
Mm. Some lady / kid was just yelling, loser, loser, like super loud, and that's all I can concentrate on.
Well, JT, why are we doomed to continuously have a tale of two shows?
Why are we cutting off the church at their hottest?
I know.
Nobody wants to see James and the Harris boys beat them right now.
No. It's ridiculous. Well, maybe Jenny. Jenny, are you excited for the Harris Brothers run?
No, definitely not. I mean, I joke about it, but like, I'm in it for the comedy, but I don't really want to see it.
And potentially the porno between the three of them.
Well, obviously that.
Obviously. Yeah, like, why are we doing this to the new church? Like, they're already in so many segments. Do they need the tag team titles too?
No, there could have been someone else in this match. For sure. There's a million fucking guys on this roster.
But don't they... Okay, never mind. Continue with the description.
Like, the other thing that sucks about this match is that the New Church has been good almost unilaterally, but they're not. Yes. But they're down to the Harris's level in this match.
Yeah. Yep. Which is a very low level of garbage.
Yeah. It's a 1-star level for me, if you will.
I went 1.75 stars. But yeah, it was not good. It's stupid. And then the post match is stupid.
Well, I was like, oh fuck, are they gonna reverse it? Because here comes Percy Pringle. And he's like, the Harris has cheated! And he's talking about how the Harris has cheated. But let me say something. Why on earth would anyone trust this man? The man had an affair with his boss's wife, sired a child. The child has been recently revealed as a possible necrophiliac. Then he turns on his boss's own son by hitting him over the head with an urn, maybe containing human remains. He then vows to ruin the Undertaker's life and bring back his brother. He reveals the fact that he's the father of Kane, but then later aligns himself with the Undertaker against his own son. He's also tried to embalm someone alive on at least one occasion. Why are we trusting this guy?
He's exciting. All that.
He doesn't like
awesome.
Malfeasance in the ring.
It looks like he has some sort of affiliation with the New Church, and then I'm like, oh, that kind of makes sense.
What if he's the daddy's daddy?
Oh. Like, did he sire James Mitchell? Is that what you're – or
– yeah, or, like, hatched him.
Out of an egg?
Or some sort of device. Oh, like – the Matrix.
Oh, like some sort of a magical Matrix spell?
Yeah.
Yeah, but then the Church end up stalking him and AMW come out and save him. Like, none of it makes any sense.
No, none of it makes any goddamn sense.
I blame the Harris.
Obviously, it's the Harris's fault. I buy a situation in which James Mitchell was like Percy Pringle's like puppy, like for puppy play. You guys know about puppy play?
Tell me about puppy play.
It's like a thing where someone is a dog. They identify I don't know if they identify, but they're a dog and they have a master. And then I guess the master has sex with the dog. I know a guy. I know a guy who is like the puppy champion of North America.
What?
Is this a?
There's a championship for this?
I don't know if there's a title belt involved, but.
Yeah. Well, you just said there was.
And new puppy champion. Anyway, I just see it. I can see it. BG James is hiding under the ring. Pringle exposes him. And then the decision is reversed. Did they reverse the decision? Yeah, they do. They do reverse the decision. Right. Right. Okay, they do. Mm-hmm. Jenny, could you describe Percy Pringle's chin for me?
Oh, fat.
Just went as basic as possible.
Opposite of Trinity.
I'm just saying.
The opposite of Trinity.
It's not as hot as Trinity's chin.
No, I don't want to watch him brush his teeth or eat steak or anything. Like... I also imagine, like, if he were to eat steak, there's a lot of juice that's probably going to run down that chin. And there's a lot of roll. So probably get stuck in the roll. All right. We should move on. But, JT, you were right. The America's Most Wanted comes out to save Percy Pringle. But, JT, how did you like that toque on James Storm?
I'm all in.
You like the toque?
It's winter. It's a little chilly. Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. Does it get cold in Tennessee?
Yeah. There's cold stretches.
Well, wait. Define cold.
I mean, no, for you, okay. It's probably like a summer.
Yeah, not Canada cold, like the South cold.
Does it get anywhere near minus 40 in Tennessee? Because that's what I'm dealing with.
It's fine.
It was minus 24 here yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why do you live there?
I have a job here. I can't move yet. I can't move. Maybe now. Can I just immigrate to the States now?
You might have to wait.
Get your shot. Then you can.
But, I mean, like... Because, like, I feel like the borders are going to start opening, right? Wasn't that a promise? Wasn't that a promise of Biden and Harris? They're going to let...
Harris.
Too many Harrises.
And she's the worst one!
I had to think for a minute. Harris. I was like, wait, which Harris?
And then there's another Kamala Harris who's a wrestler.
Oh, my God. There's too many.
All right. We're moving on. We're getting the recap of Sonny Siaki from last week, and I just want someone, anyone in the promotion, maybe those two guys that were fucking hawking the silent auction, anyone, please fix the volume of the music on these packages.
Oh, God, so bad.
Because
it's like weird Godfather music, too.
Yeah, and it's so loud. Like, you're putting it over people talking. And I will say, the way Goldie was interviewing him and the way she's standing with him, You think maybe they're fucking?
They might be fucking.
Might be fucking.
They should be.
Yeah.
Like the gleesome threesome.
Oh, God. Yeah. We have a sit-down interview with Sonny Siaki, and it's Urban Mike Tenay this time. And Tenay's like all over him for having no respect. And when he says that, Siaki looks off in the distance, and Tenay's like, look, that look off in the distance proves it. But, like, what do you want him to do? You're right, Mike. You're right. And like Siaki's whole point is out with the old and with the new. He's been in the business 4 years and he's sick of hearing about respect. Jenny, yeah. What did you think of the seriousness of Siaki here?
I enjoyed it. You know, he's kind of tired of all this shit. Like, who wants to sit there and talk to Tenay and like have him, you know, come at you hard with these questions? Fuck all that noise. I enjoyed this.
I liked it too.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just like I like straight wrestling promos where people talk about wanting to win. And
he has a good point, and it's like you've seen that point play out. So
yeah,
and he's not soaking wet, so it's not distracting at all. He looks like a normal person.
Well, yeah, because
except for the lighting, which is like some sort of weird like green color, yellow. I don't know.
You don't need to use green gels like ever in lighting. Even when you're doing a poisoning scene, you don't need green gels. Just makes maybe if you're doing a forest with a Lico. Anyway, I'm going too far into
this. You look jaundiced. Like, it's really bad.
That's just Mike Tenay. Mike Tenay's got some sort of infectious disease that he's infecting everyone with. Mike Tenay got hepatitis and he's been passing it along. Hepatitis Tenay is a real problem in TNA. Look, Mike, the promotion's TNA, but fucking be reasonable here. You're killing everyone. You talk about making people sick. All right. I mean, you're right. He didn't look soaking wet in that interview, but as soon as we're in the arena, soaking wet Siaki is strutting down. Main event introductions in the ring. So it occurred to me, and the announcers mention it later, but JT, this is a feud between Siaki and Lynn that's actually been going on for a while.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's been a good one. The whole story of Siaki's been really good. It's been one of their best stories that they've told.
Yeah, I'm on board. Like, mm-hmm. Like, I mean, like, you get the TNA originals, like Styles and America's Most Wanted, but for me, Siaki's up there in terms of characters.
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed him with the Elvises, breaking up the Elvises, and all the way to this point here.
Yeah. The only thing.
And this, you know, much as we joke about Jerry Lynn, like, being a dork or whatever, like, when he comes to the ring, you're excited about it. Like, he's fun as shit to watch.
No, you are.
I am.
I don't know what it is.
And I'm correct.
I love Jerry Lynn in ECW. I really love him in ECW. I was so excited when the WWF hired him. And I don't know what it is. I just can't get behind him here. I don't know what it is.
I got nothing.
Anyway, Jenny, do you think – is this division the right fit for Sonny Siaki?
I think so. I think it's more – well, I don't know. He's hard. Yeah, I mean, I think he's good floating in and out of divisions.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that. Like, I think Siaki does a good job holding his own here with Jerry Lynn's offense. Yeah. And the match feels very serviceable, but it doesn't feel like an X-Division match.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Jerry's not really an X-Division-y looking kind of guy either, so maybe that's
what right. And Siaki is not going to fly around the ring either. So.
Right.
Yeah, but it's not even the flying. It's like all the X Division.
Just the look.
Well, all the X Division guys have an intensity about them.
Yeah.
That just isn't quite there. Now, when Lynn.
Is it youth? Is that what they're missing? Youth?
Well,
Siaki just has. He has like a calm, dismissive style. Like, that's his style.
Mm-hmm. Well, and he looks more like a heavyweight. And I know it's not the cruiserweight division, but it kind of is, you know, at the same time. Look, but when Lynn starts switching gears, he really does a great job carrying this thing.
Yep.
Ref gets bumped. Lynn hits the cradle pile jar for the visual pin, but the ref can't get there in time. Some chick interferes and crotches Lynn. Siaka Papapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapapap move. Anyway, Sonny Siaki hits it. And
Siakadopoulos.
Sonny Siaki is the X Division champion.
Mm-hmm.
Jenny, are you at all torn? Like, are you at all torn by this result?
I am, just because I don't like to see Jerry Lynn lose, but, you know, also it feels a little bit cheap of a win for Sonny, although I don't think he cares because he celebrates like he just, like, won on his own. But the mysterious lady is interesting, so it's not bad.
JT, do you think – is this something that Siaki deserves?
Yes. Yep. I was happy with it. I thought it was a good match, a moment. It was intriguing with the mystery woman and the payoff there. I was happy to see him get the win in the title. I'm also happy to see the belt kind of get out of the Lynn Styles world that we've been in. I think we've talked about that a bunch. So this will be something different. It was hard-hitting. I thought it was clean for the most part. It keeps up the trend. And, yeah, I think he's come a long way and deserves a shot to see if we can do something different with the X title and to see what he can do with it. I went 3 stars. That was a really cool moment and a night full of cool moments. And it's cool to see guys like Red and Siaki get big wins on the night, like paying some credit to all the hard work they've done over the past, you know, X amount of months.
And Jerry Lynn, you know, gets to hit the awesome cradle pile driver and the visual pin too. So he's, you know, doesn't really not too bad on him. 3 stars for me.
Yeah, I'm at 3-2, and as much as I'm asking questions about, like, if Lynn fits in – not if Lynn – if Siaki fits in the division and if, you know, if it's a good thing for division, whatever, I'm really happy for Sonny Siaki. Mm-hmm. Like, consistently one of my favorite characters. It's – and this kind of, like, kind of shows that they're at least serious about him, which I appreciate. So, a really cool moment for me here.
So, the girl – do y'all know who that is, or is this like a thing later, or no?
We'll find out.
All today, and but it this kind of hurts. Is all today and West want to talk about is who the woman is,
right?
Which I mean is
well, today can't stand not knowing what's happening.
Oh man, fuck! If you have a secret and you tell him you have a secret, he must be the most annoying person to be around. Come on, tell me. You talk about secrets. So we're going for the chain and chair match next with Truth heading down to the ring. He's high-fiving the crowd. Jenny, is all the racism just forgiven here?
Yep, he's over it.
Because like,
he's so focused racism on the match.
Like, they hated him and he hated them.
Well, they've earned his respect. It's definitely been one of our tightest episodes so far. Like, we just keep chugging match after match, which has been a nice change of pace.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm liking it. I don't know why they're not letting Truth cut any more promos. It feels like a missed opportunity considering how good he is.
Gotta save all the extra time for Russo.
Yeah. JB announces, this is BGJ! Like, it's the most important person who's ever come to the ring. So, I think you mentioned it earlier, JT, when the Harrises came from the crowd. But I kind of like that he comes from the crowd with no music. Like, the same way
I wish he'd leave through the back of the building and not come back.
Drive off. My purpose. Maybe get into a coma or something. but, like, I just think it differentiates, like, that they're Russo's guys are not part of the promotion. I know it's – we hate them.
I think my favorite part is watching him crawl over the guardrail because he always looks like he struggles.
Yeah. James is now, when he gets in the ring of truth, he's like, I'm not doing this. And the crowd starts chanting chicken shit at him. Are they being kind? The crowd, they could chant much worse at him, right, JT?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
He deserves much worse.
Oh, fuck, he deserves it all. James with his ponytail beards begs off to start. Would it fucking kill James not to wear a TNA shirt since his allegiance has shifted away from the promotion?
He needs to do the
That's
old Mike Rotundo.
His only shirt. He doesn't have any other shirts.
The old Mike Rotundo, WCW with the X through it.
Oh, God. we get a nice spot where Truth drop kicks the chair right into James's face. Jenny, explain to the listeners what this chain and chair looks like. Like, because you need the visual.
Yeah, so there's a chain, and Truth has one end wrapped around his wrist. BG James has the other end, and then there's a chair hanging from the chain.
Like the chain is run through the chair.
Yeah. So you could use the chair as a weapon.
Right.
Cause in numerous ways.
Because the metal chain is not enough to hurt someone with.
Unless you choke them with it.
I guess. We get
or gather it up and like beat them with it, you know?
Right. Two shots to the head with a chair, and BG James is still kicking out strong at two. Like early two counts. And then so Truth sets James up on the ground. He puts the chair on James and puts the chain on top of James and then goes up for a moonsault. He moonsaults, but James rolls away but leaves the chair for Truth to land on. And I actually thought that was a decent spot that, like, I'm surprised they didn't fuck up. Mm-hmm. But then James just takes the chain off his wrist, which defeats the whole purpose of the match.
Yeah, that was stupid.
And then Truth falls outside the ring, but he pulls James into the corner, and there's a chair in the corner. But the chain isn't hooked up to James's hand. So instead of just letting go of the chain, James lets himself get pulled into the corner. Like, why didn't he just let go of the chain?
Because he's stupid.
He's fucking stupid. Then Truth picks him up and just fucking spikes him into the chair for a three count.
That's so great.
Yeah, were you at all surprised, Jenny, that that was the finish and how fast that was?
Yeah, I was surprised. I thought Truth was going to do that.
Yeah, I
was shocked.
Great in this match.
Yeah, I was really shocked he won with no bullshit. I mean, I'll take it, but it was real weird booking given the push for James and Russo and all this stuff. Again, I'll never hate Truth getting pushed strong here, but it was an odd decision given everything going on.
Yeah, JT is – so, look, I don't want to give him any credit, but James is much better as a heel in this promotion, right?
If he's not talking or doing anything but wrestling, yeah, sure. But he was fine in this match.
Yeah. Except for the stupid chain shit. I went 2.5 on the match. I like the finish a lot. I don't know. At least
I went 2.5. I mean, not far off. Yeah.
I just feel at least now James is in like. I mean, he's not welcome at all. But like, if he's gonna be in the promotion, at least he's cast well here, sort of.
Yeah, well, it's like we used to talk about with, like, how they kept Hall and those guys all, Jarrett, like, in one little group. Like, keeping James confined to this fucking thing, like, isn't the worst use of him if you have to have him.
Right. And then cutting – and not having him do all the face promos. Mm-hmm. Busy to the gym.
How about just zero promos?
Yeah, he could have to talk at all.
I mean, that's preferable. But I bet they think he's a really good promo, so they're going to just let him keep
talking. He was the voice behind DX.
The driving force that took over wrestling. Post-match, Truth then piles the chain on James and the chair on him, and he's going to go up to the top ropes to jump on him. Bullet Bob races to the ring, and then fucking – Don West demolishes me. I had to pause it. I was laughing so much because he deadpans. He goes, he doesn't want to see his son killed.
He doesn't want to see him die.
It fucking obliterated me.
Me too.
Anyway, he doesn't want to see him killed.
I was like, I do.
It was just said so honestly and so earnestly from Don West. Like, he empathized in this moment about a father wanting to save his son's life. JT, was he in any way close to death?
No, that's the ridiculous part. It's like Truth had a knife on him or something.
Wow.
So then James ends up hitting Bullet by accident with the chair. Yeah. And then he, like, leaves scared. He's, like, you know, kind of scurries off like he fucked up. And I don't know, like, it was awkward the way they did it. Like, it was kind of obvious what was coming, but at least it adds a little conflict because you kind of have James now with, like, the two father figures, right? Like, his real dad and then Russo. He's gonna, so maybe it adds at least something.
You're giving this so much more thought.
It's so awesome. I love it. Who would you rather have as a dad, Russo or Bullet Bob?
Bullet Bob. I mean, come on. You are not going to bed until you eat all your vegetables.
Until you take your fucking tits out, yeah, going to bed.
Guys, so he nails his dad with the chair, but how violent can a chair shot look when it doesn't even knock the glasses off his face?
Does it mean he's got the little, have the little strap on the glasses?
Yeah.
I think they've just permanently attached to his face at this point.
So Tanae is like, oh my god, that was so disturbing. Tell us about next week! Like, the transitions, you can't, like, there's not even a second to be like, oh, yeah, it was bad. No, he's just screaming about next week. But the big news for next week is Percy Pringle is going to be interviewed by Mike Tenay. Now, guys, is it going to be Urban Mike or Casual Mike interviewing Paul Bearer?
I think it's going to be
Tuxedo Mike. Tuxedo Undead Vampire Mike.
Yes.
So we're now going to get a video package between Perfect and Jarrett going through all their stuff. It's fucking loud as usual. And we get a – so now we get a sit-down interview with Jeff Jarrett. Mm. And Tanae starts it by saying, I haven't talked to you since you fulfilled your lifelong quest. Quest is too much, right? Like,
I don't know. It felt like a quest when we were in the middle of it.
Yeah, true.
And lifelong. So.
Like, Frodo and Sam went on a quest. Like, this guy just screamed about a title shot for 20 weeks. And then Jeff Jarrett gives a normal human interview, which is such a far cry from him screaming about a title shot for 22 weeks. Jenny, how does Jarrett look when he's dressed like a regular human?
That necklace is not great. Yeah, but it's not good. I mean, otherwise, he looks all right.
Yeah, he looks like a person. He buries Sean Waltman for not wanting to be on the same show as Russo.
This reminded me a lot of that comeback promo he did in 97.
On WWF, yeah.
Yeah, like it was very much like he's kind of doing this like straightforward babyface twist, but then also kind of taking all his like shoot shots at everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he says he's acting like a coward. Now, I'm going to say something. I think if this was the Jeff Jarrett we'd had since day one, I don't think I would have minded this that much.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Like, it's fine. Like, and almost good. I think it gets better, too. Today, asking about Piper's comments about Owen Hart, and you could see Jarrett, like, because they were really close, right? And you could see him, like kind of, like, get affected. And he takes the high road and says, Vince Russo or nobody else responsible for Owen Hart's death. JT, he's doing damage control here, right?
Yeah, because he even says, like, I'll never talk about him like that on a wrestling program, and Russo didn't kill him. So, yes, just try to, you know, clear the air and move us along.
Yeah.
But he does talk more about Piper, so I don't know. Maybe Piper's not gone. I'm not sure, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I feel insane thinking this, but I feel Jarrett as, like, the traditional wrestling babyface champion could work. Like, and then...
That's always been his best role. Like, even his old USWA shit, he was, like, better as a face. It's just he's always been a heel.
Yeah, it's weird, right? Major roles. Like, I remember watching a Nitro, I guess it was in 96, where he was just, I guess they were just in Tennessee or somewhere, and the whole crowd took his side and started chanting his name, and he kind of faced it up, and I was like, oh my god, he's really good at this.
Yeah.
Like, and then he's never been booked that way in a major promotion. And I think
this is what I'm afraid is going to happen to me when Shane Douglas and ECW that I'll end up liking him like this.
Well, I'm
telling you, Triple H, Jarrett, and Shane Douglas are all like the same fucking person.
Well, we'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens. Like, maybe I won't. Maybe he'll be too in charge of the promotion. But like I don't know. And then Tanae asks him, "Are you with or against Russo?" And then he's like, "I'm going to answer Russo face to face when the time is right."
Yeah. So he's just playing everything down the middle right now.
I like the promo.
It was good.
Yep. I liked it.
Not bad.
I'm okay with it. We do the tail of the tape for the main event, but there's no tail of the tape. It's just fucking stupid sayings like experience rules and the Russo factor. There's no tail of the tape here. Henning comes out to the biggest pussy country song I've ever heard on a wrestling show. Like, it's in Jarrett's music. Here's the thing. Jarrett comes out now, and based on that promo, his music doesn't fit him at all anymore. But he comes out like a douchebag, and like it fucking kills the sympathy I have for him. Just take the sunglasses off, and I think it's the shades. Like, get the shades off. Even with your stupid tight red shirt, you're not from Canada. Take it off. Kurt is wearing a black and red singlet, which I don't think I've ever seen before, and I think it's crazy how small Jeff Jarrett looks next to Kurt Hennig.
Well, yeah.
But
he's a little blown up right now.
But I mean,
he looks like a Smurf.
But I mean height too, because Henning always looks small in the WWF.
Yeah, no, he's a tall guy.
Yeah.
The tail of tape versus Henning has a weight advantage. Like, nothing has ever been more obvious in my life.
The match is going. Jarrett's wrestling like a face, and I'm on board with it. And as soon as I write he's wrestling like a face, he goes to the outside, he grabs a chair, and fucking pulverizes Henning on the back of the head with it. So much for that. It's also right in front of the ref, but the ref does nothing. Jarrett then touches Chekhov's guitar, but doesn't pick it up. He's like, maybe. Kurt then brings him in the ring, puts him in some sort of bullshit leg lock. Jarrett fights out. Henning goes into the steel pin in the corner, but as he falls, he clearly bumps the ref. It's just fucking sloppy. Henning low blows Jarrett twice, but Russo comes in and bashes Henning repeatedly with the guitar, and Jarrett pins him. Russo hands him the belt. Then they get in each other's faces. Jenny, is he a face or not?
He's in between. It's whatever the circumstances call for.
Shades of gray, buddy.
There you go.
But JT, he clearly works as the face in this, right?
Yeah, I think he's meant to be a face, but he's a friend of Russo, who's an asshole. Yeah. So he's like, it's almost like a homeless man's Sting and Luger stuff from like early 96 WCW, right? It's like, it's his boy, but he's kind of a piece of shit. You know, but he's not dragging him yet because he's not sure where he's going to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought this, I don't know. And then you get the whole way thing. So AJ Styles then comes out.
Right.
And like saves Russo. And then, but then we cut out. So like, is he going to be on Russo's group? Maybe, I guess.
Also, it's hard to get behind Jeff Jarrett as, you know, I don't want to root for this person. Like, I just don't. Like, I've seen this, all this crap. I'm like, I already kind of decided I don't like you, and like, nice try, but like, I'm not buying it yet, you know?
The finish was weird too. His Hennig like clearly laid there waiting for it. Like, you could see it bracing for the guitar shot. But I thought the match was actually okay until that stupid finish. Like, given Hennig's physical stature, I thought he did okay to cobble together like a decent little veteran match. Until the end. I mean, Russo's clearly a drag on everything that he's involved in. I went 2.25.
I'm at 2.5. Like, as bad as Kurt looked, I thought he did all right in the ring. Like, he wasn't, you know, struggling or anything. Like, he was pretty well going. So, you know, it was pretty basic other than the ending, but 2.5.
I'm at 2. I agree with everything you're saying. I just hate when... I don't want to fucking be the rules guy, but like, why does he get to bash him with a chair in front of the ref? It makes no sense to me. Anyway, I think the match was bad. I think Styles attacking is interesting. We'll see where it goes, because that seems to indicate to me that Styles is moving up to the main event, which I think is probably a good thing. And, you know, fuck, I'd rather have AJ Styles in a group, in a main event heel group, than BG James and the stupid Harris brothers. So that's where we're at. That's where the show ends. Let's talk about the stuff that happened, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right. We got Terrible Authority Figures, Not Paul Bearer, A Debut, Ass Crack Jesus Love, Sex Parasites, A Match with a Coherent Structure and Finish, A Heel Interrupts the Show, Guitar of Doom, Gleesome Threesome, A Father Disappointed in His Son, A Black Man in Chains, The Worst Facial Hair Potentially Ever, A Million Strangers Running to the Ring, Jeff Jarrett's British Adventure, Estrada Loses His Smile, Self-Reflection, Threatening to Change Gimmicks and Then Just Doing the Same Thing You Do Every Single Other Week, Something in the Back, Armstrong Family Feud, A Tag Team Match, Snake Talk, BG James Becoming More Detestable by the Second, A Brother Speaking Calmly, Guy in a Sack, Great X Division Match, Red Light Promo, I Am Filing a Grievance, The Evil Faction One Step Away from Asking the Crowd to Clap for Them, Title Change, Title Change Reversal by Potentially Evil Mortician, Stupid Tooks, Urban Mike Calling Out an Arrogant Samoan, Title Change, A Chair Barely Doing Any Damage, A Man Not Wanting His Son to Get Killed, A Son Nearly Killing His Father, Unmovable Glasses, Damage Control, Henning Proving He Hates Rap, Stone Cold Jeff Jarrett, Russo Bullshit, Confusion, we're out of time.
34, which may be a record.
I think that's the highest so far. Jenny, what's the best segment on the show for you?
The best segment? I'm going with Estrada.
Oh.
A little cheap, but I went Siaki winning the title.
Yeah, that's for me the best moment. I'm gonna go with the Jarrett promo.
Mm.
What's the worst segment though, JT?
James's promo.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Consensus. Who do you want to see more of, Jenny?
I'm going to need some more of Kid Cash and Sonny, of course. Truth, I think, should be put on that as well. And I'm not going to add Jeff Jarrett to that yet, but let me add Cross to that.
Yeah, Cross, Cash, Trinity's Moonsaults, Red versus Styles, and Good Clean, hard-fought wrestling, which this show had plenty of.
Yeah, I'm going to just add face Jeff Jarrett. Mm. I can't believe it. Who do you want to see less of?
Sports Entertainment Extreme.
B.G. James.
Yeah, he's in there. Yeah. So, yep.
Yeah. B.G. James.
I'm kind of done with Divine Storm. I don't really want to see them anymore.
Well, they got the Trinity, though.
I want to see her.
Well, she's part of the deal.
Well, that'll move me right into my 2002 self, really liking Trinity.
Me would have been freaking out over Cross's shooting star leg drop.
Oh, that was nice. It was high. He got so high on it.
Yeah, it was wild.
I don't know. This is a rough one. I don't even know if I did this one last time. I'm going to go with... let's go with Trinity as well.
Yeah, right? Okay, who's got a wild who's got a wild card?
Fake cool, lame Brian James.
All right. Any imposters?
Yeah. Sports Entertainment Extreme as the F level NWO.
Okay. Appearance tracker.
Just two, Jason Cross and the Mystery Woman.
There's not somebody else.
No, I think that was it.
I feel like there was somebody. Maybe I'm wrong. Oh, you know who we didn't talk about in the appearance tracker last time? And he was on this show too, is Percy Pringle.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah, I'll add him.
Yeah. All right. Listen, for those of you that are fans of the show, this show dropped today on April 6th. Which is absolutely when we recorded it. But just to let you know, we're going to be on hiatus for 6 weeks, just because we have a bunch of stuff going on and with recordings and whatnot. But we'll be back May 18th with the – we're not going away. We're not stopping the show, even though the show drives us crazy sometimes. We will be back May 18th. So don't think we've quit. We're just taking a little bit of a break.
They will definitely think that.
We'll be back.
That's why I'm saying it. then watch us in that time decide to quit.
I was going to say that would
be serious. Coming back. We're going to at least finish O2, and then we'll have to roll into O3.
Yeah, TNA will.
No, we'll be back. Plus, the Dirty Network dissolves, you know, we're going to have to.
Yeah. Yeah, or TNA. What if TNA sells their catalog to ABC? And,
oh, my God.
Paramount Plus.
Yeah, if ever there was a sign that WWE doesn't give a fuck about its fans, it's there. And it's fine. They're a business, but, like, you know. Clearly, it's very clear. It's a fucking cash grab. All right, JT, you want to tell us what's going on at the North-South Connection Podcast Network?
Yeah, there's stuff dropping every day. Wrestling, pop culture. On my Twitter, at JTThePodGuy, I have a document pinned that explains all the shows we have going on, you know, covering all types of different eras, right? We're in late 02 here. So is Jake Williams. He's getting to the fall of 02 on Ruthless Aggressive, WWE. Year of 02, we have Wrestling Warzone, me and Chad going through the Monday Night Wars, Jenny, Miyu, and D'Amato going through ECW's, you know, peak years. We started in 94 into 96. Aaron, you got some great shows as well. You have a year that was breaking down every WWE pay-per-view year. Me and you doing Now Entering the Rumble. We break down every single Royal Rumble performance from every single performer. No Holds Barred, we do a lot of list-based activities and live watches. Also have my mailbag, get that once a month. We get Shrink Wrap, Psychology of Superheroes, Rank and Files, our bracket-based show, This Week in Sports. It's our sports show, Second Print Comics, Viewer's Choice, breaks down any live, or I shouldn't say live, any new in 2021 pay-per-view events, whether it's WWE, NXT, AEW. That drops usually like next morning or even that same night. Those Marcus and Tim. And I think I got almost everything. Just about New Gen on the Mission. Pratt and Slomka going through the new gen era of WWF.
Nice. All right. So was this show worth it? And what's the score?
Yes, it was a big upgrade from a week ago. They focused heavily on the in-ring and let the talent do the work. The SEX stuff sucks, but at least it was minimal here. The pieces are there if they could put it together. We'll see how it develops. I went 7 out of 10, which is a 6-point increase over last week's bottoming out. So it was a good sign because I was really afraid that last week was going to be the new normal. And it may still be. This could be the aberration. But it was nice to see a solid bounce back here. And it made me feel better after that disaster.
I mean, I cannot agree with that more. I mean, I don't know that we've ever had such a huge, you know, shift. And it's just part of what TNA is at this point, right? Like, you don't even know what to expect episode to episode, like, which is, you know, really part of its charm. So I was happy to see them bounce back, and I gave it the big old 7.5.
Wow, I'm at 7. I love the show. I didn't love it, but I liked it a lot. I remember like halfway through being so encouraged, like, oh, okay, like I can get back on board with this. So I'm at 7/10, which is a 7-point improvement for me from the last one. All right, let's power rank these guys and get out of here.
All right, here's our 10 from last episode. Harrison Storm, number 1. AJ Styles, 2. Jerry Lynn, 3. Church, 4. Truth, 5. Red, 6. Siaki, 7. Cash, 8. SATs, 9. Easy Money, 10. I would say we should move. I would move Red and Siaki up above Church and Truth at the least.
Yes.
I would
yes.
put both of them ahead of Lynn.
Yeah.
I knew
okay.
you were going to say that.
I'm good there too.
Yeah, might as well.
All right, you want to do Red and then Siaki?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. And then you want to go with the Lynn Church Truth trio there?
Yeah, and then let's see how that plays. Now, do we want to keep Harrison Storm at number 1 or move AJ up?
Yeah, AJ's been on fire, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Even though he lost.
That's okay.
All right. And then you want to keep Cash, SCT's money, anything there? You want to swap out money for Jason Cross?
No.
Money's got a bit more cachet.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
What about Jeff Jarrett?
Aaron.
It feels bad dropping SATs after like they've had consistency, but they just weren't on this week. I could get behind moving Jarrett to 9 and dropping the SATs and leaving money at 10 if you want.
Yeah, okay, let's do that.
I mean, he is the world champion.
He's still Jeff Jarrett, though.
All right, we'll give him 1 week. See how he does next week.
Yeah, if he comes back and is an asshole again, we'll drop him.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So we got AJ Styles, Harrison Storm, Red 3, Siaki 4, Lynn 5, Church 6, Truth 7, Cash 8, Jarrett 9, Easy Money 10. I feel okay on that?
Yeah, I think that's cool.
Yeah.